All right, well, we're going to get into the word. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to two places, Isaiah chapter 6 and Acts 28. Isaiah 6 and Acts 28. Honey, could you hand me my Bible? It's in the box, so you're going to have to take it out. Isaiah 6, Acts 28. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we just open our hearts. Lord, come and speak to us like you always do. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, we've been spending the past several weeks talking about the Holy Spirit, and we're going to continue to do that. And we started off this conversation about talking about how the Holy Spirit is God. And sometimes we hear that and we're like, well, duh. But how many of you know sometimes we don't really treat the Holy Spirit as though he is God? Sometimes we confine the Holy Spirit to a feeling. Right, we come in and we worship and we can sense his presence. We can feel goosebumps maybe, and we just leave it there. Sometimes we limit him to just the occasional word of knowledge. But how many of you know the Holy Spirit is so much more than that? The Holy Spirit is God. And I feel like we need to start there, because if we can start there, then we know how to relate. We know how to interact with him more appropriately. And it really sets the tone. And so we've been talking about how the Holy Spirit is God. We need the Holy Spirit, amen. You do not need to go through life limited to your own ability. The Lord has given us his Spirit. He's given us his Spirit to empower us. The Lord said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And so there is something that is to take place, but it's not just a feeling. He's not just an energy. He is a person. He is God. Somebody say amen. And so we're going to start in Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, starting at verse 8. And it says, also, I heard the voice of the Lord. Everybody say, the Lord.
The Lord.
I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. And he said, now this is the Lord speaking. It says, and he said, go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed. Now, here's what I want us to notice. Who is speaking here? Come on. I need some confidence. The Lord, right? It says the Lord. The Lord said, I heard the voice of the Lord. Everybody say the Lord.
The Lord.
There we go. Okay. Now, Acts 28. I had you turn there as well. Acts 28, starting at verse 25. This is a quotation of Isaiah 6 of what was just read. It says, so when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word. The Holy Spirit, everybody say the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our father, saying, go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive, for the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. And so we see this is a quotation by Paul. And Paul is speaking, and he's saying, who is speaking here? This is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said. So Paul says it's the Holy Spirit, and Isaiah says, who is speaking? The Lord. There you go. The Holy Spirit is the Lord. Amen? He's more than a goosebump. He's more than a feeling. We need to know who we're dealing with. We pray for revival. We say, Lord, save our nation, save our country, save our schools. Like, Lord, heal us. Lord, come, move. Like, we want more. But when he comes, we just kind of treat it very casually. And if we don't feel it, then he must not be here. But he's more than that. We're going to get into it. Bob Gladstone from Brownsville Revival School of Ministry said this. He said, the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit is like nuclear power. When properly walked with, it gives life and brings liberty. When improperly handled, it can kill you. There's a way that we are to walk and to be in his presence. There's a posture, there's an attitude, there's an approach. And it's vital that we understand who we're walking with. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. It says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit." Everybody say that together. The Lord is the Spirit. Can't get any much more black and white than that. The Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The Pentecostals like that. We like that one, right? But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. How does that happen? By the Spirit of the Lord. That's a powerful verse. Now, let me just say, liberty does not mean that we get to go crazy and just do whatever we want, right? It doesn't mean that we get to be cosmic. It doesn't mean we are running around in circles and being distracting during times of the Lord or moves of the Lord. Don't get me wrong. I would rather be a part of a church where there's a little bit, where people are a little bit more crazy about the things of God than casual about the things of God. I really don't want to pastor or to be a part of a church where, you know, people are getting saved and someone gives their life to the Lord and someone says, "Oh, cool, someone got saved." I would rather be a people who gets on fire. The word says all of heaven rejoices when people come to repentance. I want to match that atmosphere. You know what I mean? Our times of worship, all the angels and the elders are bowing before the Lord, casting their crown, saying, "Holy, holy, holy." I would rather our church look like that than this. Make sense?
Yep.
And so I would rather for there to be fire and passion. And then out of that, if messes pop up, we'll pastor that. All we need to be is a little bit humble, a little bit correctable, and then we can have the best of both worlds. But let there be a fire and a passion in our hearts. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So this says, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty to do what? To become more like Jesus. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty to do what? To be like him. To behold him. To look to him. In other words, the Holy Spirit is God. And where he is, he brings a liberty to the soul to behold him, to look to him, so that you can become more like the Lord. How many of you know the way that we become like him is to look at him? You don't become like him just by trying harder. All right? That the whole Old Testament is that. It's all, we fail. We mess it up every time, and we just are awful, right? But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is a freedom and a liberty to behold him in all of his glory. Can we just pause and think about what an honor and a privilege that is? That not only can we call on him and hope he hears us, no, we can call on him. He comes into our midst. We enter in by the blood of the Lamb. He comes, and we get to look at him. And when we fix our eyes on him and stay focused on him, Scripture says there's liberty to become like him. And that's the goal. The Holy Spirit's number one goal and purpose for your life, it's not miracles, it's to become more like Jesus. Jesus did miracles by the power of the Spirit. But that wasn't the ultimate. The ultimate is to be like him. Amen? So when people say, we're going from glory to glory, anybody ever heard that? We oftentimes associate that with radical spiritualism or moves of God. But how many of you know it's really only true? You're only going from glory to glory if you're actually looking more like him.
That's good.
That is good. Glory to glory means I become more like him. I'm looking more like him. So sometimes glory to glory means being more quickly to forgive. Sometimes going from glory to glory means being more faithful in your giving to the Lord and trusting him as your provider. Sometimes we think of glory and we think of the spectacular. We think of the flashy. But the Lord's not concerned with the outward appearance. He's concerned with the heart. And he wants to do something so unique, but it only happens when we behold him. And that happens when his spirit comes, his manifest presence comes. And so the word glory, by the way, the word glory means the manifest person of the Lord Jesus. What does manifest mean? You can sense it. You can feel it. You can almost touch it. It's there. The manifest person of the Lord Jesus. And so going from glory to glory means we become more like Jesus. If that's not our primary goal by being here today, we're missing it. Our goal is to be more like him, and that happens by, through the Spirit. So the glory of God is the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit, which reveals Jesus, and because I'm in that presence, I behold him and I become more like him. Amen. Listen to Acts chapter 5, verse 3 and 5. It says, Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Who did he lie to? The Holy Spirit. And keep back part of the price of the land for yourself. While it remained, was it not your own? After it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. It is interesting that Ananias was lying to Peter in the flesh, but because God was present, the Holy Spirit saw it as lying to God. You see, how many of you know that when his presence comes, the standard is raised? Everything gets heightened. When the presence comes and we're in the presence, it's almost like woe to those of you who were near me but did not see me. The penalty is almost worse, right? Why did Jesus say to Judas, it is better if he had never been born? It's because Judas walked with Jesus in the flesh, with God himself. Was Judas the last person to lie and to steal? No. But he forfeited his soul. Why was the punishment so severe? Because he was so close to the presence of God. You see, that's why scripture says, to whom much is given, much is required. How many of you remember Moses? Moses, he received, think about this. Moses received his calling at the age of 80. He was 80 years old, and he gets called by God to go to lead a nation out of slavery, out of bondage, out of Egypt, and into the promised land. Now, Moses had served his father-in-law from the age of 40 to 80, and he became a shepherd. Now, think about this. Moses, who was a prince of Egypt, the highest place, for the first 40 years, he goes out into the wilderness, serves his father-in-law, and becomes a shepherd, which then was considered the lowest form of occupation. And it was then that God could trust him to give him his call. How many of you know if you want to be a prince in heaven, you have to first be a shepherd on earth? That's a different message. And so God gives him this call. And he's out in the wilderness, and the people are complaining, they're thirsty. And God says, strike the rock and I will bring forth water. And so what does Moses do? He strikes the rock twice. And many people say that is why Moses didn't get to go into the promised land. He didn't get to go into the promised land himself because he disobeyed God and he struck the rock twice. The rock represented Jesus and Jesus only needed to die one time. Amen? He struck the rock twice. And so what scripture says, he could not enter the promised land, but we associate the action with the result. We often look at the action, but the Lord looks at the heart. And it was more to it than Moses striking the rock twice. It was because it was this. This is what God said. He says, you have not hallowed me. The reason he didn't get to go into the promised land is because he forgot who he was talking to. He began to treat that relationship with God casually. Scripture says he saw God face to face. Can you imagine that? And it became common for him. It was as though God was saying, you forgot who you are talking to. May we never treat the glory and the anointing of the Lord as common. I remember I was serving in ministry with a pastor, and I was interning. And I remember I was called the shadow. I was called his shadow because literally I just followed the pastor around and did whatever he wanted, okay? But I was like, I want to learn. Like, I want to know how to do this. I want to see how you seek the Lord. I want to pray how you pray. I want to do the things that you're doing. The Lord is moving in your life. I want to be a part of that and see those things come to happen. Anyways, so I was seeing all the behind-the-scenes stuff, right? I would be in the office, and he would be on his knees praying before the Lord, and I would get on my knees, and I would just start praying. He didn't ask me to. I was just like, he's doing it, I'm doing it, right? Like I'm going to do it. People would say, like, this church had tremendous growth, and people would be like, what was the secret? I was like, he was on his knees praying. Like, that's all he did, like, was pray, and he would hear the Lord, and then he would do it. I remember, though, I would see all the behind-the-scenes stuff, and I would begin talking to him like he was a buddy. I'd begin talking to him like he was just another friend. And I began to talk to him and be very casual in my conversation to the point where I started joking with him the way I would joke with my friends, and there wasn't that same level of honor. You guys know what I'm talking about? And I began to treat him just like anybody else, treating him more as a friend than as my pastor. And I noticed that when I did that, I started losing out on that pastoral side of things. And the Lord showed me, he's like, he's not called to be your friend, he's called to be your pastor. You don't need another friend, you need him to pastor you. How many of you know when we spend time in places and we spend time with people, we begin to see the flaws, we begin to see the common, and we forget the anointing that the Lord has put on someone's life. This is really what was happening with Moses. Moses forgot who he was talking to. God told him, I want you to strike the rock. And Moses took it a little extra and struck it twice. You did not hallow me. What does that mean? You didn't revere me the way you're supposed to. May we never treat the presence of the Lord as common. Amen. And so the standard of his presence is higher. The greatest thing that you can do for your family, the greatest thing that you can do for your ministry is to live a life of humility and reverence to God. If you can live your life, if you can parent in a way where you are reverencing the Father, if you can have your marriage be about reverencing the Father, about honoring the Lord, when you are going on dates, are you treating them the way the Lord would say to treat them? When you're interacting with your spouse, are you treating them and conversing with them in a way that would honor the Lord? When we can honor and walk humbly before the Lord in every facet, how many of you know the Lord is glorified in that?
Yes.
Amen? Yes. It is a sign and a witness of the holiness of God. Listen to Romans chapter 8, verse 2. It says, The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. How many of you know every born again Christian has this promise?
Yeah.
You have been set free from the law of sin and death. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You are no longer under that law. Sin causes death. But if you are a believer in Christ Jesus, you are no longer a part of that system. You belong to another system. It is the system of the Spirit of life. How many of you know he is the Spirit of life? Amen? As you get older, you recognize more and more, I need some of that life of Jesus in my body. I wake up and I'm like, "What did I sleep weird? Like, what's going on?" Right? You know? Spirit of life, come on in. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 says this, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Think about this. The Holy Spirit searches the depths of the Trinity, which is limitless depths. And when we build friendship with him, he begins to share some of those things with us. Can we think about the honor and privilege of walking with the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the part of the Trinity, searches the depths of the Trinity, which is endless wisdom. If you need wisdom from the Lord, you want to walk with the Holy Spirit. That's why Proverbs calls the person of the Holy Spirit wisdom. We need to know the things of God. We need to know the heart of God. Right now, things are easily confusing. And if we are not spending time in his word, if we're not spending time in his presence, we are being consumed by all these other things, all these other voices. There's a lot of voices that want your attention in this world. And I'm telling you, there's only one true voice. It's the voice of God. We must trust that more than any other voice. There are voices that are after your heart that are designed to lead you astray, to get you out of fellowship with God, to get you out of fellowship with his church. Somebody say amen. And when we're out of fellowship, we are vulnerable to being taken advantage of by the adversary. We need the wisdom of God. It says, verse 11, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? And so Paul is saying, it is your spirit that really knows the real you. How many of you have ever forgiven someone? And on the outside, you did all the right stuff, right? You forgave them. You said, you know, I forgive you. I love you. Like, let's move on. And on the outside, everything looks right. But on the inside, there's still some things going on. How many of you know that's your spirit, your born-again spirit saying there's still some stuff that we got to work on here? Do we need to do the outward stuff correctly? Yes. But sometimes we need that extra spirit work. How do you become someone who can actually forgive more freely? Look to Jesus. How do you become someone who isn't consumed by revenge, but does what Jesus says, turn the other cheek? How do you do that? Look to the Lord. When we fix our eyes on Jesus, you literally will become more like him. And it requires one thing. Well, it requires your heart, but it requires this. It requires time. If you want to grow closer to the Lord, you must give him your time. There is no shortcut. Because time represents your attention. It represents your affection. When you love something or you are interested in something, what do? You give it your attention. You give it your time. Maybe some of you have hobbies that you love. Is it good to have hobbies? Of course. But it consumes your time. It consumes your attention. If you want to grow closer to the Lord, you must give him your attention. The better word is this, your affection. Give him your affection. Conversation I've had with a lot of people lately is, are you actually in love with the Lord? Like, do you love him? And the first response usually is, yeah, of course. No, but do you love him? Like, do you want to go home and just be with him? When you got a few moments in the day and, you know, rather than maybe looking at your phone and scrolling through social media, will you just close your eyes and just begin to thank the Lord and welcome him? You see, you want a move of God in your life. You feel God's calling you to from glory to glory. You have to give him your heart, which is going to require a yielded life. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say? If you don't do what I say, you're no better than anybody. You're no better than the Pharisees. You act religious, but you're not. Your heart doesn't belong to me. Lord means, no, he's the decision. It literally means master and decision maker. Meaning what he says goes. Even if I don't like it, I don't want to forgive that person. They don't deserve it. How many of you know we didn't deserve Jesus' forgiveness? Right? exactly. Okay, you see where this is going. Okay. It says this, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God, and he has given us an invitation to walk with him. And he promises that as we walk with him, he gives us the depths of his heart. The depths of his heart. Isn't that what Jesus prayed? Jesus prayed to the Father, Father, take what you have given me and give it to them. How does that happen? By the Spirit of God. If the Holy Spirit is not welcome in your life, if he is, if you put him in a box, if you're only with him on Sundays, you are limiting the effectiveness of the power of Spirit in your life. We must welcome him. Amen? Amen. We need to know the thoughts of the Holy Spirit. We need to know what the scriptures teach. I'm gonna invite our graduating seniors. Can you guys come up? We're gonna pray over you guys. And then our eighth graders as well. If you guys can come up here too, that would be wonderful. Is this good? Oh, all right. Jacob, if you can go down to that end. It looks like that's the direction we're going. All right, I wanted to give you, I'm gonna invite people to come up in a moment, but if I can have your guys' attention, all right? So if you guys can look at me, I wanted to read this scripture because I felt like this was from the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:7-8 says, God did not call us to uncleanliness, but to holiness. So Paul is telling us, don't live a dirty life. Don't live a mixed life. You guys know what that, you know what I mean? Where there's some good, pure things, but there's some dirty. Because it taints the whole thing. He says to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. I would say this, and this is the best advice that I could probably give. The greatest achievement in life is loving Jesus. It's not about career achievements. The best thing you can do is to learn what it means to love him. And if you can do that, all these other things will fall into place. Everything your heart is after. Because here's the dreams and the desires, goals, those are from the Lord. But when you've chosen to follow him, which all of you have, when you said, I want to follow Jesus, what you're saying is it's not my ambition. Jesus, you're my ambition. And then he leads us and he navigates us. Does that make sense? So what we're going to do is we're going to pray over you guys, and I'm going to have everybody in the church extend hands and pray with us. But what we'd like to do is we're just going to anoint you with oil. Now, oil, it's just a little bit of oil. We're just going to put a little bit on your forehead. I know it's a bad skincare routine, okay, but you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Because Susie at graduation gave me one of those things for my face because there was a little extra oil going on. Okay. She's like, address your T-zone. I'm like, I actually know what that is. And so okay. But the oil in the Old Testament represents the Holy Spirit. And that's what we've been talking about. And when kings would step into their place in the Old Testament where they would take their place at the throne, the prophets would come and they would anoint them with oil, which was a representation of God's anointing and Spirit coming upon them. And everything that we're talking about, because this is for everybody, we need the Holy Spirit. And scripture says, when people give their life to the Lord, lay hands on them and pray that they would receive the Holy Spirit. And Jesus gives it freely. So I expect that when we just put some anointing oil on your head and we begin to pray for you, that the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. Some of you have already been filled with the Spirit. Some of you will be filled again. We all need to be filled again and again. It's not a one-time deal. No. Paul says, be filled. be continually filled with the Spirit. Okay, we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to help you navigate life. He's going to help you make the right decisions. He's going to empower you and strengthen you to be a witness for him, because the Lord has done something very precious in each one of your hearts. And he wants to do that in the lives of other people. Amen. Is that good? All right, so come on. Let's get Susie. Let's get Andrea. Can you come on up and begin to pray? I'm actually going to have you begin to pray.
Oh.
Can we all stand?
Didn't hurt, you said.
Can you play pads?
Yeah. What's the matter? Oh, am I praying your anointing?
Yep.
All right.
Wait. Let's extend our hands. And let's just begin to pray.
Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for what you have done. Lord, we thank you that your word says that you knit them in their mother's womb. Lord, that you've called, that you have fashioned their days before them and for them long before this moment, God. Lord, before they were even in this spot in place, Lord, that you created them with intention and purpose. Lord, we thank you, God, that you've brought them to this place right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the work that you are doing in their life. Lord, I thank you, God, for the work that you are, the sweet whispers. God, I pray that the things that you have been working and orchestrating in them from the beginning of time, Lord, that those things would begin to come to fruition. Lord, I pray that places of doubt that the enemy has tried to creep in, that has said that the Lord does not speak to them. Lord, I pray that their ears would be open to hear, but Lord, that their hearts would be open to receive, that you have been speaking to them from the beginning of time. Lord, I thank you that when they were little, that there were things that you have given them, dreams, moments. Lord, I pray that you would bring those things back to remembrance right now in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you that you have called them all by name. Lord, I thank you that they are going to be a generation of kids who are fortified, of young men and of young women, who will walk fortified on their campuses, who will walk fortified in their high schools, God. Lord, that they would be people who would not look to the left or to the right, but that they would keep their eyes on you. Lord, I thank you that your word promises that we don't lean on our own understanding, but to trust in you and that you will guide us. God, I thank you that they would begin to walk, that they would be people, young people, who would walk with courageously and strongly. Lord, I pray that you would give them a boldness to follow you. Lord, as Jay was just even speaking, Lord, that they would be guard their heart above all else, that they would guard the things coming in, that they would be guardians of the things that are going out. Lord, I pray that you would give them an eyes to see. Lord, that you would give them eyes to see the things that you are doing. Lord, I pray that there would be an increase in Jesus' name in words that they have for other people, that there would be an increase in Jesus' name in boldness, Lord, that they would be people who would see what you are doing and that they would walk boldly and confidently, that they would walk it out. Lord, I thank you that you have up here evangelists and prophets and apostles, preachers and teachers, God. Lord, that you are equipping them for the work and the ministry that you have set before them. Lord, I thank you that these kids or these young people, Lord, are going to be light. Lord Jesus, that they are going to shine brightly for you, God, that they would continue to walk unashamed unashamedly preaching the gospel through their actions and through their words, God. I thank you, God, that you have called them, Lord. I thank you that the enemy's plan has been rejection, that the enemy's plan has been destruction, that the enemy's plan has been confusion. But God, we release right now in Jesus' name clarity. We release adoption. We release acceptance. We release your peace. We release your joy. We release your hope in Jesus' name. God, we thank you that you know them by name. Lord, we thank you that you don't look at their decisions, that you don't come with condemnation, shame, or guilt, but God, that you come with peace, with hope, with revelation, God. Lord, I pray and I thank you that they have each other. Lord, I pray that you would continue to lift them up. Lord, that you would speak to them in their dreams, that you would speak to them as they're coming, as they're going. Lord, we pray a protection right now in the name of Jesus. We pray a protection of the work that you've already started in them. Lord, that you are faithful and just to complete the very thing that you have begun in them, God. Lord, we pray that you would give them, that you would awaken them right now in Jesus' name. Places that have been asleep, places that have been places that have been that have just kind of let go by, God, that you are awakening them right now. Lord, I thank you that all the things, Lord, it says that we are a new creation in you. Lord, I pray that there would be an awakening to that new creation in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you that you've called Micah, that you've called Calvin, that you've called Amir, that you've called Maya, that you have called Charlie, that you have called Ella, that you have called Jacob by name, God. And Lord, I pray that they would just continue to hear you speak. Lord, I thank you that you have given them ears to hear, that they would not be people who would miss the opportunities. This is not about perfection, but Lord, that they would not be a people who would miss the things that you are speaking, Lord, but that you would be, that you, that they would be people who would walk in your boldness and your courage in Jesus' name.
Father God, I just lift up all of these students to you, Lord. I just thank you for the influence that I see in every single one of these students. I thank you for the influence that you see in every single one of these students. God, as we just prayed this morning in our pre-service prayer, Lord, we just prayed that we would be able to see everybody that comes into these doors that we interact with the way that you see them. And so, Lord, I pray that that would be true not only for us right now as we pray over these students, but Lord, that they would also see people that way. God, I thank you that I just kept getting the word for just speaking over these students, impression over influence, God, an impression over influence. And so, Lord, I just thank you that this is an impression that you are impressing onto them, God, these words of wisdom, these words of knowledge, and just your word being truth, God, but a truth that resonates in them. I pray that it would just be something that resonates in them to the point where it would ripple out, just cause a ripple effect to every single person that they interact with, God. Lord, that they would just be a light in their communities, God, a light in their friend groups, a light in their families, a light with the students and the teachers and the professors or whatever they're going, God, everybody that they interact with, Lord, their coworkers, Lord, that it would just be a rippling effect that would resonate through the different communities of truth, God. Lord, even as it says in your word, even if they feel that they don't know what to say, even if they feel they don't know the word, whatever it may be, God, number one, we speak against that in Jesus' name, where we stand with them knowing that they have been in the word and that they do know it. But Lord, I thank you that it says in your word that your Holy Spirit that is sent to us as a helper, God, your Holy Spirit would bring back into remembrance everything that Jesus has said, everything that they have read in your word, Lord, so that in the moment that they are interacting with people, the moment they are speaking with them, not only would they be able to reflect your grace and truth in those moments and in those conversations, Lord, but that they would also be able to recall everything that they have read. God, that they would be able to recall the different truths that they have read that have not only been true to them, but have been true for everybody that they interact with. God, I thank you that revelation is something that we get to experience as your believers and as your followers, God, and that it truly does bring transformation, that revelation brings transformation. And so I pray that these students would have just the boldness to share that revelation with others, God. Lord, I thank you that when they have that revelation and they know that it has been something that has sank deep into their heart and brought that transformation, God, I pray that they would have the boldness to bring that revelation forward to others, to speak it out as a part of their testimony. God, that we would overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so I pray for these students right now that they would just have that supernatural boldness from the Holy Spirit to share their testimony with others, to overcome the enemy. God, when they're in the situations where they're tempted or whatever it may be, God, that they would just rely on your word and rely on your truth. God, even just beyond being tempted by negative influences, whether that be to party or whatever it may be, God, I pray specifically for the strength against temptation to falter from their identity, God, to falter from any kind of impression from the world that says who they are meant to be or the kind of things that they're meant to be doing or the path that they are meant to be taken on based on the world, Lord, but that they would stick true to their true identity in Christ. God, I prayed for every single one of these students as I was walking by that they would be protected and have the peace that surpasses all understanding that would guard their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, just as your word says. And so, Lord, that identity in Christ Jesus, I just pray that they would further have the transformative revelation of what it means to be in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Kelsey, can you come up here too? Hey, we're going to close, but we're going to extend our hands one more time. Keep praying. Here we go. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would bring about clear direction in Jesus' name to each one of them. Lord, that they would be led by your spirit, that you would make the crooked paths straight. Lord, that you would make the dark places light. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would continue to give them a hunger, a pure hunger for you. Lord, I thank you for the hunger you've given them. Lord, amp it up. Lord, amp it up. Lord, put a fire in their hearts and a fire in their mouth, Lord, to be led by you, to follow you, Lord Jesus. Give them dreams, give them visions, and continue that mighty work that you've begun. In Jesus' name, we give you praise. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord.
Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It pierces even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And I just pray that your spirit, God, it sees us. It can cut out and cut through all of the other stuff and get to the deepest part of us, to our deepest identity, God, a part that sometimes we can think, this is who I am, it can't change. But God, the truth is that your spirit is the only thing that can truly change us, that can change our identity from lost to found, from in deepest despair to in the light of your love. And I just pray that right now, God, that what your spirit does is it cuts through all those things and it brings us the truth, that it gives us the ability to understand that truth in just even the lightest way, God, that we are so loved by you that it is overwhelming. And I pray over everyone here that they can cut through that noise, they can cut through the hate, the negativity, the things of this world, and that they can hear you and hear their identity in you, God. We love you and we praise you. Amen.
Can we just give thanks to the Lord for the work he's doing in them? Thank you, Lord. The Lord is good. One more time. Bigger, a little bit bigger. Here we go. You guys can be seated. Go ahead. Amen. Amen. Well, we just want to thank everybody for joining us. We're going to go ahead and close and be dismissed. If you need prayer, we're going to have some people up here available to pray with you. If you would like to give your life to the Lord, come on up and we'll walk you through that. But otherwise, you're dismissed. We love you guys and we'll see you next Sunday. God bless. Make sure to give some love to these guys too on your way out.